Of Artificer Creation.
Welcome to episode 147 of the Let's Talk Photography podcast. I'm your host, Bart Bouchotz, and this is the show for December 2025. I'm recording this episode a little bit later than usual in the month. I don't know when I'm going to hit publish on it, but I can tell you that I'm speaking into this microphone on the 26th of December, which is the far side of Christmas, which is unusual. Normally I get this show out a little bit earlier in the month. But, well, first off, I had a nice Christmas. For those of you who celebrate the holiday, I hope your day was full of peace, joy, good food, and that you spent it with the people you love. For those of you who just got some time off work, well, I hope you had a fulfilling day. And all of you who get to have some more time off work, I hope you find the opportunities to rest, relax, and maybe get some interesting things in front of your lens. Anyway, one of the reasons I chose to delay recording this was because I had a pretty good idea what I wanted to talk about, but I needed to finish editing all of my photos on this particular topic and publish them before I could record, and that finally hit publish on that yesterday, Christmas Day. I know, but hey, I enjoy photography, so of course I was doing photo stuff on Christmas Day. So okay, I've beaten about the bush quite a bit here. I had an opportunity to remind myself that adversity can be a learning opportunity. Every year, the Railway Preservation Society of Ireland run a series of Santa special trains, and two out of every three trains are pulled by steam engines. There's also diesel engines in the evening, which are really way more for the railway enthusiasts, and also for the fact that the demand for these Santa specials is way, way, way higher than the amount they can possibly provide. And for the kids, they, you know, they're an amazing day out. You get to go to the big station in Dublin. You get to meet Santa on the platform. You get ushered aboard a special train. They're vintage carriages. That's very unusual for these kids. Santa's on the train. You get some sweets and some goodies. The train goes out to Maynooth. Train disconnects in Maynooth. You're on the platform in Maynooth. Santa's giving out gifts. You get to talk to the drivers in the train and stuff. The engine runs around the train, reconnects on the other side because they're vintage coaches and they can't drive both directions. So the engine comes off, drives forward, changes track, runs past the train, drives forward, changes track, and then backs into its train again, and off it goes. And it's really a fun day out. But, you know, I'm a railway enthusiast, not a dad with kids. Which means that for me, actually, the Santa specials are much more fun outside than inside. I have no interest in being on one. I want to photograph them, especially the ones hauled by steam engines. And so every year, this is the thing that happens. Late November, early December, three weekends. They run Saturdays and Sundays, and it's two steam hauled trains each of those days. So, and Maynooth, where I live, is the halfway point. So basically the trains leave Dublin, go out to Maynooth, turn around, and then go back to Dublin. So within my area, that means we get two opportunities per train, one for the train coming and one for the train going. So, you know, a lot of fun stuff. And every year I try to get out and photograph them. Now, reality being what it is, I don't get to go out for all of them. But, you know, I go out for as many as I can, and my aim generally is to get some nice idyllic style shots, your picture postcard shot, in the hope of being able to use it either as the inside or the outside of my New Year's cards that I send every year, because I like to use my own photography for my New Year's cards. And this year, the weather really wasn't playing ball. Like, normally you can count on a sunny day or two. If you're really lucky, a snowy day, that hasn't worked out for me so far, but it hypothetically could, or, you know, quite often a frosty morning or whatever, you know, is stereotypically winter weather. Well, we got the other kind of winter weather, the kind that's actually really popular in Ireland, but not at all the kind that is generally considered picture postcard perfect, the windy, overcast and wet variety. The Sun did come out for a very short amount of time on one of the 3 weekends, and I did get one picture postcard shot, which is on my cards, which, you know, so okay, I did sort of get there, but the vast majority of my shooting opportunities were in awful weather, which technically speaking means you would imagine that was adversity. And that adversity forced me to think different. And conveniently, I realized that I had a difference as well. So the iPhone 17 Pro, as I described in a recent episode, really has changed things. That telephoto lens has gone from, oh, it'll do in a pinch, to a genuinely useful lens. And that means that I had a whole extra tool in my toolbox. So between the inclement weather forcing me to think differently and the iPhone having some new capabilities, I ended up shooting a whole bunch of shots that were really quite different to what I'd shot before. And on the whole, I'm actually really happy with how things turned out. So there's a link at the top of the show notes to all of my keepers, which I posted in a series on the wonderful photo social network Glass, which I adore still. I talked about it many moons ago on the show. I love it every bit as much now as I did then. I think it's an amazing site. So anyway, link in the show notes so you can watch along as we talk about these things. Now, the strange thing is, I learned a bunch of new lessons and I reinforced some old lessons. And so in the end, the shots I have that are the best, that have got the most attention, are ones that are novel compared to how I've been shooting before. So let's dive into my lessons learned. Let's start there. The first lesson I learned sounds rather obvious when you say it out loud. Steam trains are not diesel trains. So I have been shooting along the former Midland Great Western Railway MGWR line that runs through Maynooth for literally decades now. I know that line spectacularly well. I know how at different times of the year the sun lines up with that line. I know where there are clearings in the hedges and so forth that make it possible to have wide vistas and narrow vistas. I think I know, as well as anyone does, the various opportunities for photographing trains along that stretch of line here through Maynooth. But the overwhelming number of trains on this line are diesel rail cars, which means that without really thinking about it, I haven't learned the best places to photograph trains. I've learned the best places to photograph diesel trains. And because I never really stop to think about the difference, and because I would often be quite rushed on the few days when there are steam trains, it's like, oh, I don't want to do an experiment, I don't want to try something novel, because what if I miss the shot? There's only a few of these steam trains. Oh my god, right? So obviously go to your greatest hits, right? The places you know work well. And that hasn't always resulted in the best photographs of steam trains, and it turns out that that's because steam trains aren't diesel trains. So diesel trains can sneak up on you rather quietly. Steam trains, not a chance they're going to sneak up on you. The giant big pillar of steam coming along the horizon will give you quite a bit of advance notice. The whistle is very good at carrying. It's not for nothing that frequency was chosen for those train whistles, because when they whistle as they pass through one of the stations or one of the level crossings where they're required to whistle, you hear it for a very long way. So you will hear 1, 2, maybe even 3 very distant, less distant, quite close by whistles before the train shows up. So you're not going to be surprised by a steam train. The other thing is that diesel trains get up to speed very quickly. They run quite fast. So at full speed, they can actually be quite difficult if you're trying to get really perfect compositions, because the moment where they're in exactly the right place for the composition to feel balanced and everything to be just the way you want it, well, it's a moment. It's really very fleeting. So the places where I've learned to get my best shots are the places where the trains are forced to slow down because there's a sharp turn in the line, or there's a signal which often requires them to slow or stop. which means that actually my best diesel train photographs are often of trains that are coasting or maybe even outright stopped. But you can't tell because on a photograph, a diesel train horsing along at 100 kilometres an hour or one that is stopped dead look exactly the same. So these places where I know the trains slow give me the best diesel shots. Steam trains, however, do not look the same at any speed. In fact, it's not really the speed that matters, it's the acceleration that matters. What makes a steam train look like a steam train is steam. Steam trains at regular line speed put out a decent cloud of steam and it will trail nicely behind the engine over the carriages because, you know, the train's moving at a good clip, the engine's working. It's not working flat out once you're up to speed, but it's working. And of course, a steam engine only puts out steam while it's working. So as the steam engine slows down, it starts to put out less steam because what's actually happening in the cab is that the driver is literally closing the regulator, which is the valve, and he's letting less and less and less and less steam into the piston. And when a steam train is coasting, there is no steam being let into the pistons, which means there is no steam coming out of the chimney, which means the steam train doesn't look like a steam train anymore. It looks like it's parked. Even if it's still going at 20, 30 kilometers an hour, but once it starts coasting, it kind of looks like it's parked. On the other hand, it could be going at almost 0 kilometers an hour, but it's just being given permission to depart. What does the driver do? Whacks open the regulator as far as he can get away without the wheels slipping. So for every puff of the cylinders, every rotation of the cylinders, the most amount possible of steam is coming out. And that engine is working really hard. So you get these massive clouds of steam shooting right up into the sky, way higher than when the steam engine is just, you know, trundling along at line speed. So actually, a slow steam engine speeding up gives you a very different type of steam cloud. It's tall and it's not trailing very far behind the train than the steam cloud you get when the train is running at speed. And they're both quite different photographically and one may be more desirable than another. But the places that I'm used to photographing are where the trains are coasting. So I needed to rethink. I needed to find places where the engine was accelerating. Now, my favourite diesel spots, some of them are where engines accelerate, because if you think about it, all I'm interested in with the diesel trains is speed. So if there's a sharp turn or a signal, well, the good places are going to be on the approach to the turn while the diesel engines are slowing down, or the approach to the signal, at the signal or in the turn when they are slowed down, and shortly after the signal of the turn when they're speeding up, because, yeah, they accelerate really quite quickly, but not instantly. So for steam trains, that means that two-thirds of those locations are bad. You don't want a place where the train is slowing down. You don't want a place where it is slow, and you don't want, but you do want a place where it's accelerating. So the approach is bad, the turn itself is bad, but the pulling away from the turn and the pulling away from the signal, those are good. So one-third of my good places are good, but the rest are not. Thankfully, basically, finally, after all of these years of not actually realizing this, the penny finally dropped. So this year, almost all of my steam train shots have nice clouds of steam because I worked really hard to find the places where it seemed to me the driver would have to have the regulator open and there would have to be a good cloud of steam. Sometimes it just isn't possible. Like when the train is, when the engine is running around its train manus, it's in a station. It's not working hard. And you know, there's a few other places where I didn't know exactly when the driver would or wouldn't be closing the regulator because it kind of depends on the signal and, you know, whatever else is going on. So it's like, well, there's a chance he'll still be steaming or maybe not. And some of them were maybe not. Some of them were really good. But anyway, on the whole, I think I actually got better pictures because I finally realized that I got to be extra, extra picky in my locations and prioritize places the engines accelerate. The second lesson I learned then is that telephoto compression offers new opportunities for foregrounds of interest. If you would like a boring, flat-feeling railway shot, compositions are very easy. You stand next to the line and shoot the trains from a classic three-quarter angle so you see some of their front and lots of their side, but nothing of interest in the foreground and the background. And ta-da, you have a boring and bland shot of a train. I would call it a documentary shot of a train. Trying to find compositions where a train that is literally running on rails lines up with a good foreground and background, that's the tricky bit, right? Finding places where compelling compositions are possible when you have very limited control over where you can be, because there's only so many places you can see where the train definitely will be because there's no choice in the matter. So iPhones before the iPhone 17 Pro offered two high quality options in terms of field of view: the standard lens and the really nice wide angle lens. And I relied very heavily on that wide-angle lens for compelling compositions. You know, if you look back over my previous photographs and stuff. But this time, I had a third option, that amazing new 4X telephoto. Case you're wondering, no, the 8X isn't a great fit for railway photography. Why? Because trains move. And that lens is so powerful and needs a steady hand to get the sharp shot at the best of times. So you already have the danger of it not being perfectly sharp because you're not quite perfectly steady. And then you have the fact that you're shooting something that's also moving. And if the winter weather isn't great or whatever, your exposures are going to be a little bit longer. With all of that going on, the chances of a tack sharp image are pretty darn low. So I sort of feel that working with the 8X here is probably just asking for disappointment. But that 4X, that's great. That's actually a really capable lens. So with my new sort of realization that, oh, hang on a sec, I need to prioritize places where I know the train will be accelerating, there was one place I just knew would be the perfect opportunity to be guaranteed a big head of steam. And that is a little bit east of Maynooth for a railway nerdy reason that I'm going to share with you, because I'm a railway nerd and I can't help myself. So Maynooth Station is unusual on the line through Maynooth because it is the point where the double track line from Dublin as far as Maynooth becomes a single track line all the rest of the way to Sligo. So you have two lines coming in and one line exiting, which means there is extra plus safety features around Maynooth Station, because if a train fails to slow down, it's not just that it might cause a bit of issue as it comes through the station a little bit on the quick side. It runs out of track on the other side, which is a problem, like a big problem. So in order to give the station extra protection, the signal that protects its approach, so if you're coming from Dublin and approaching Maynooth, you pass a signal, I'd say it's about a kilometre from the tip of the platform, that signal is protecting the station. And that signal is an approach control signal, which means that it will not go green, even if the line is clear and there is no reason for the train not to continue. It will not give the train a green signal until it has slowed to a near or actual stop. So every train has to check their speed in order to get a green signal to proceed into Maynooth, which means every train has to accelerate as it passes that signal, which means you get a big head of steam as it's coming away from the signal. It's not going to last long because you've just been given the right to approach a station. So you accelerate up and then you coast. But, you know, steam trains don't accelerate that quickly. So, hey, this seemed like a place where I could guarantee a big head of steam, at least for a while. So I focus my attention there. Unfortunately, steam is guaranteed. The view of the line is not. That signal is on a stretch of line that's not actually particularly well visible from the public path. But it is close to a sharp turn in the line. And if you counterintuitively go closer to Maynooth than the signal itself, and you find there's a small spot, it's about 2 meters long, in that turn, where you have an unobstructed view between the various trees and things, straight down the straight, approaching that turn, where that signal is. So the train is going to get the right to proceed to Maynooth, puff out a giant big head of steam coming straight towards you, and then in the last second it's going to turn away from you. So at higher levels of zoom, you get to zoom right into the train setting off, and as you reduce the zoom back out, there's actually some nice wide-angle shots of the train rounding the corner. So it's actually quite a good spot, all in all. You've got to be a little careful with the timings and stuff, but it's a pretty darn good spot that I had never really considered before. So at this point in time, I'd found my spot, I'd found my line of sight, very, very small area where this opportunity exists, right? Just a little 2 meter stretch of the path. But I found my spot, I was there, and then the inclement weather came along. And the heavens opened. And I noticed that there were very large crowns of water on the canal, because it was a proper downpour with big drops. Now, when I zoomed out for the wider views, did a few test shots, the rain wasn't particularly obvious. You could detect it if you look, you know, it picks up people and say, oh yeah, it's raining. But it wasn't particularly obvious. But with the compression you get from the telephoto lens, the foreground, things are pretty big. And in the background, the train's also pretty big. So actually, with the telephoto and its compression, I could have recognisable, noticeable raindrops as the foreground and the train with its big cloud of steam as the background. And lo and behold, a composition that had never even occurred to me before, and probably, well, it wasn't possible without the iPhone 17 Pro, let's be honest, you need that telephoto, has been one of my most popular shots. So you'll find it in the gallery. It's going to be pretty obvious. It's one of the raindrops in the foreground and the steam train approaching a sharp turn in the line, with a nice big head of steam, because it's working hard. So that was one of the first times I was like, oh, this telephoto, this is interesting. So the next place I came along was another location called Pike's Bridge. And for trains leaving Maynooth, this is a magical location, because it means that you have a widening of the canal with a stone quay, because there's a little harbour at Pike Bridge. And then basically the canal widens up. So if you stand at the point where the canal widens and you look towards the bridge, which is at the other end of the harbour, you can stand in a place where if you crop out the foreground, it looks like you're in the middle of the water, which is a really cool point of view. You're on perfectly good dry land. In fact, you're on a solid quayside instead of on a grassy edge where you might slide in. So it's actually a really great safe place to stand. But the point of view you get, thanks to the magic of photography, makes it look like you're in the water, which makes for very compelling shots. Not only that, you are closer to the center of the canal than the boats moored in the harbour. So you can use the boats to frame the left side of your shot, sorry, the right side of your shot. Then you have the water dominating the center of your shot, and the railway line is on the far bank dominating the left of your shot. And you have this two-arch stone bridge, which one arch goes across the railway line, one arch goes across the canal, as your background. So as a wide shot, that's actually very interesting. But if you zoom in, you can see through both arches of the bridge. And if you look through the canal's arch, you can see across to the railway line, where you can see the trains approaching in the distance. So you can use a telephoto to look up that harbour using the edges of the barges tied up in the quayside to frame one side of your shot through the stone arch and get the steam train in the distance, framed in the bridge. Only, of course, if you have enough of a telephoto. Bada bing, bada boom. I had enough of a telephoto. It worked amazing. And another shot that did quite different than I'd done before, and that really caught everyone's interest. But at a little bonus, right, many lenses allows you to multiply your scarce opportunities. Because, and this became really, really, really obvious. I was already doing this earlier in the season, but really, it really came to light here at Pike Bridge, because diesel trains, by the time they've left Maynooth and gotten as far as Pike Bridge, they're up to full speed and they really come racing through there. So it's really hard work to get more than one shot of a diesel train passing Pike Bridge, but steam trains are still working hard to get up to speed, which means they still have a nice big head of steam, and they're not actually at full speed yet. So that leaves an interesting opportunity, right? So, finite number of steam trains. One opportunity per leg. So, yes, it's 3 weekends. 2 days per weekend, that's 6 days in total. 2 trains per day would be 12. But actually, there's 2 opportunities per train because you have it going to Maynooth, then it spends half an hour in Maynooth, then it heads back from Maynooth. So you can find a spot where it looks good in one direction, change your spot, get it in the other direction. So 2 opportunities. So that gives you 24 opportunities. Assuming, of course, you have nothing else to do for those 3 weekends and you can be out for each and every opportunity, or each and every one, which isn't true. But, oh, and also half of those apparitions are considered suboptimal by railway geeks because many, many, many decades ago, the turntable in Maynooth was dismantled. There hasn't been a turntable there since before I moved to Maynooth in the 90s. Which means that a ye olde steam engine, which used to rely on that turntable to turn around, now can't turn around. Now, it has to be on the front of the train to be legally allowed to pull the train. We do not allow steam engines to push trains up main lines at high speed. That is just not legal in Ireland. So the engine has to be in front of its train. But if you think about it, a steam engine, that a tender-based steam engine as opposed to a tank engine, has its nose where the chimney is. It's called a smoke box, the black bit. You have a smoke box, the chimney, you have the giant big long tubular boiler. Then you have the firebox, then you have the cab, and then attached to it you have a little tender, it's called, where there's a giant big tank of water, which no one really thinks about unless you're a steam nerd. And on top of that water you have a giant big bunker of coal. And so the tank is used to top up the boiler, and the coal is used to fire the fire, literally. To fuel the fire, if you want, it's probably a better way to say it. So when the train is running from Dublin to Maynooth, it's running in its forward-facing direction. Smoke box at the front, big boiler cab, and then the tender trailing behind, and then you have a train attached to it, and it looks like you would expect a steam train to look. When it gets to Maynooth, it disconnects from its carriages, runs forward, changes track, reverses past its train, so now its tender is facing forward, and the smoke box is at the back, changes track again, and, you know, pushes back onto its train. So now it is on the Dublin side of the train, but it's tender first, not smoke box first. And then it sets off, and the train is inside the cab. Everything's arranged that it's completely safe for the driver to run tender first. He's, instead of looking over a long boiler, he's looking over a shorter tender. So you could argue it's even slightly safer. And, you know, everything is rated to work that way. And so the train accelerates out of Maynooth tender first. But a lot of railway photographers scoff at tender first workings because it's like, well, that's not picturesque. I don't care. I will happily photograph tender first and you can have some really nice shots. So with all of that said, I would say there is a hypothetical max of 24 possibilities. But I had an epiphany. Now that we have this 4X telephoto expanding the useful range, the zoom level available has just gone very wide. From the 0.5x wide angle all the way to the 4x telephoto or vice versa. That means that the amount of time between the steam engine being the right size to fill an interesting frame at 4x and being the right size to fill an interesting frame at the wide angle is many seconds. So if you choose your location carefully enough, and if you practice the movement from composition 1 to composition 2, you can get more than one good shot from a single pass of the train if you jump between lenses. So maybe 4x 1x or 4x 0.5x. So I actually ended up getting more than one shot from many opportunities, and it worked really well. Now, an extra bonus because of the practicalities of how the railway line here in Maynooth works. It's a working railway, right? There's passenger services interspersed with these steam specials, quite a full schedule, which means that you can be guaranteed that there is a regular passenger train running 5 to 10 minutes ahead of every steam train. So you get yourself into the position, you have an idea in mind of what you think might work, and you get to have a dry run with the diesel train. And then the steam train comes along and you get to repeat what you've just practiced with the passenger train. So that allowed me to get really quite good at getting two shots per opportunity. And then I got a little bit cocky, which meant that I thought, oh, I'm sure I could get away with three rather than two. Yeah, that didn't really work as I had planned. But that actually gave me an opportunity to reinforce some lessons I've learned before. So let's change tack here. Let's use this as a pivot point to change from new things I've learned to things I knew already that were reinforced for me. So I dedicated an entire episode recently to the concept of luck or serendipity. And I said that, you know, everyone gets luck and your best shots are often the result of luck. And the best way to be guaranteed luck isn't to be magically lucky, because that's not how it works. It's just a game of statistics. The more you shoot, the more opportunities there are for serendipity to jump in. Therefore, just shooting more means you're going to get more lucky shots. Anyway, I bit off more than I could chew. I thought I could get a 3-1. It was literally the last working of the season. I was at Pike Bridge, so I thought, okay, I can use a 4X to shoot through the canal arch and get the train framed by the bridge. Then I can switch to the 2X to get the train passing under the railway arch, and maybe the steam will do something interesting as it blasts out of the bridge. And then I'll zoom out to 0.5X and get that wide angle view where we have the train sort of a third in from the left edge, on the far bank. You have the canal in the middle, you have the barges on the right, you have the bridge in the background, you have the sky overhead. It'll look amazing. And I did my test run with a passenger train and I succeeded. I thought, great, this is going to work. I'm going to get three shots. Yeah, then my finger slipped and I was late for the last shot. And the last shot was actually the one I really thought was going to be the best. The other two were like, why not? This could be interesting. But the last shot, that's the one I thought was going to be the real keeper, that wide shot. That's what I had my heart set on. That's why I chose a location. That was the whole point of standing there. And I knew I'd missed it. As soon as my finger slipped, I knew I'd missed it. But I don't know whether it was out of frustration or hope, but I fired the shutter anyway. I knew I was too late, but I fired the shutter anyway. And I ended up at one of my best shots from the whole series. Because I cropped it, because I was late, way tighter than I would ever plan to crop a shot, because if you miss when you plan a tight crop, you get a really tight crop. In fact, it was even tighter of a crop because actually I cut off a tiny bit of the front of the loco. Like, there's actually a bit of the locomotive missing. But when I cropped it to a 16-9, and I cropped in a little bit more to make it not an accidental tiny bit missing, but a substantial chunk missing enough to make it like, oh, okay, you meant this. And I cropped in enough that the barge on the right of the image was only half in the image. Well, now it was a tight crop on both sides, so it didn't feel arbitrary, it didn't feel random, it didn't feel like a miss. It just felt like a really dynamic action shot. And so the train frames one side and the barge changes the other side and you've got the bridge at the back. And you know something, it works. It's not the shot I had in mind. It really was me biting off more than I could chew. But because I was out there shooting a lot, serendipity had a chance to make my day, and it did. So yay, that was one of the things I reminded myself of. And a little bit less dramatically, the other thing I was very aware of this entire time is that poor weather actually is quite helpful. So sun makes for more picturesque shots, but it really cuts down your options in terms of your locations. Because when the sun is shining and you're shooting trains, you need to limit yourself to locations where at least the front or the near side of the train is sunlit. Ideally, you'd like both the front and the near side sunlit, but if one of them is sunlit, you can get away with it. What you absolutely can't do, unless you silhouette the train or something, which is, you're really pushing it here, right? If you want to get a shot of the steam train, well, then silhouetting it isn't really that. So when there is sun out, you're stuck trying to get the front and or side light. But when it's overcast, the light's equal in every direction. So there is no sunlit side or unsunlit side. So all 360 degrees are useful. So actually, you've got twice as much opportunity to play around. So lots more locations. So bad weather can be a blessing in disguise. I am going to leave it there. I'm hoping you all had a lovely 2025. I want to thank everyone who supported the show in any way whatsoever throughout 2025. I'm looking forward to a 2026 full of more shows, more photography, more interesting things in front of my lens. I hope you are too. I hope I can count on a little bit of your support in 2026. I hope you're still finding the show interesting. To those of you who are Patreon subscribers, by the way, something you get from me every year is a little behind the scenes New Year's email where I give you a sort of an honest view of where we stand in terms of the running of the podcast, all the practicalities, my plans for the show, and a little bit of a summary of the finances and so forth. So now is actually a really good time to subscribe, because I will be writing that post in a few days' time. You can, of course, make a one-off donation via PayPal. They are greatly appreciated. The aim here is not for the show to be some sort of profit center, because I have a job and I like my job. The aim of the show is to pay for itself, because while I enjoy doing this show, I do kind of need to be self-sufficient. So the goal here is for the podcast to be self-sustaining. It is close to, but not exactly self-sustaining. So when I finish totting up the books, I'm going to be a little bit short this year of, you know, basically the account is going to have a little bit less money in it at the end of the year than it did at the start of the year. But we can continue at this burn rate for another year or two without any issues. So, I'm not panicking. But if you've been on the fence, you know, it will be nice to start 2026 with a slightly higher level of support, just to get us over that magical break-even point. It would make my New Year's, very nice. It would be a lovely little end-of-year present for me. Anyway, I've prattled on for long enough. I have been your host, Bart Bouchotts. You can find me at bartb.ie. Of course, you can find the show notes over at les-talk.ie. And until next time, happy snapping.